And once again, welcome back to LA in the AM with Jay Oliver. I am Tom Shalero sitting with Jay Oliver along with my co-host, Donna Martini, trying to make some sense of the day with its local news. It's 8:13 a.m. and as promised, Assemblyman Doug Smith is with us on our morning show to talk about the issue that got a lot of play, and it had to do with the vaccination bill. Some folks a little upset about it. They were protesting, and maybe Doug could give us a little bit of history of the bill, because I know Doug was up there. Doug is a great fighter for Long Island. He's a good friend, and he's also one of our senior contributors on our midday program, Your Island. Doug Smith, thanks for getting up early. Your thoughts on that vaccination? You know, were you surprised at some of the protests that took place?
You know, it was kind of an interesting thing to be in Albany to see that take place, because this session, that bill actually dominated a lot of the conversation. And the interesting thing to note, so in the 2017-2018 school year, across the state of New York, about 26,000 students had a religious exemption right to not get vaccinated. And what this bill did was it actually repealed that religious exemption, which basically limited families to just a medical exemption, which I have researched the topic ad nauseum. I've really looked at this, and it's very difficult in the state of New York to get a medical exemption, even if you have a child that has a bad side effect to a vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, it's very difficult to get that medical exemption. So this was a very contentious bill. This bill came up June 13th. It passed the Assembly and the Senate. It passed on the floor by one vote, with every Republican, with the exception of two, voted no, as well as top Democrat leadership in the Assembly, including the majority leader, the chair of the Health Committee voted against it, the chair of the Codes Committee. These are long-standing members who were very seriously concerned about taking away the parents' religious beliefs in this sense. And when we're talking about this, there was a guy. This was under the guise of a public health crisis with the measles situation, and there were many legislators that were just not buying that this was reached the level of a public health crisis to start taking away parents' religious beliefs. Now, to understand it, I represent, for example, the Sachem School District. There's now 150 healthy kids that, starting tomorrow, will not be able to attend school. So we have this federal mandate where we must educate all children in a free and appropriate public education they're entitled to in the least restrictive environment. And now, because of this law, which was rolled out very quickly, within 14 days of the start of school, they won't be able to attend.
Now, are those families contacting your office saying, look, we're not sending the kids to school because we disagree with the law? Is that
yes.
They have said that.
So they're contacting me. I've been in touch with these families all summer. I've been in touch with the school districts. Yesterday, I spoke to several school board members because they're debating what to do. Now, the penalty on this law, there's no penalty on the parents except that their kids can no longer attend public school. The penalty is on the school district, which it says under the law that for each day these students attend school past the certain deadline, I believe it's about $2,000 that would be withheld from state aid for that. So now that they're really putting the squeeze on the school district, but it's been really unequally applied. So I heard stories of, for example, Ward Melville High School, not in my district, but I heard that now their date was yesterday of when students could no longer attend. It was 14 days from the start of school. So they went classroom to classroom and rounded up about 46 kids into the auditorium, and they called their parents to have them picked up.
Wow.
And teachers that I know were very disturbed by that because, again, these are healthy kids. These kids have been attending school for years. You know, they have this religious exemption. It hasn't endangered their health, other, you know, children's health to this point. Again, though, unfortunately, this is the type of thing that we make the law in Albany. And the reason, let me tell you and your listeners, why this came up. Certain areas in upstate New York and Rockland County had very high incidences of the measles in certain Hasidic communities that widespread don't, you know, they hold these religious beliefs that say they can't get vaccinated. Now, from my research, not a single student who had this religious exemption carried or was diagnosed with measles or any of these contagious diseases. So there's no evidence, at least in the state of New York, that I could find where any religious exemption has endangered the public health. And I'm telling you, my colleagues, as I mentioned, this passed by one vote on the floor of the Assembly. It passed by one vote in committee. this was a really contentious issue.
It sounded it. I mean, in fact, you're educating me to the greater issues here, and I'm surprised, and I'm actually surprised that, you know, you say there's the fines that will be levied against the school district, but what about these parents, these 150 children over in your area,
yep,
your constituency? They're paying property taxes to go to that school, and to be denied that education. This is a tough one, Doug Smith.
Oh, absolutely, and understand, you know, I have a 1-year-old. We're vaccinating her. I support vaccines.
Yes.
I think vaccines are good for the public health. I think it's good for your children. But let me tell you, most of the parents that I've spoken to, and these are parents from across the state, the reason many of them stopped vaccinating their kids are, like any other medical procedure, you can have a bad side effect. And, you know, if I have a 1-year-old, and it gets one of these vaccines, and then they have a fever for 9 days straight, and, you know, they have a tough time, and they really struggle, and that would probably make me a little critical and not too eager to continue vaccinating my kid. Now, every vaccine, you know, does something different. It's slightly different. So that's the other reason why these medical exemptions are not handed out very frequently, because the argument is, all right, well, your kid had a bad side effect to this vaccine. Well, the other vaccines are nothing like that one. The ingredients are different. So give this one a try. So that's a concern for me. So I voted against the bill. But again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I support vaccines. However, I also support religious liberty. And like my colleagues, as I mentioned, this was a very tight vote.
Yeah.
It was the Speaker of the Assembly actually had to come out and twist arms on this.
Have you seen any litigation court action? Because I see a separation of church and state constitutional issue here. Do you see that or no?
There have been two lawsuits that I know of to try to delay the implementation of this,
right,
and they have not gone anywhere. There was one judge that actually said that your religious liberty, you don't have the right to threaten the public health.
Mm.
But again, and as legislators, and I was just having this conversation actually yesterday with family, and, you know, you really have to look at this issue, but from the evidence that I was shown, there was no indication that students with religious exemptions were actually a threat to the public health. Now, some people could say, well, that's today, we don't want to encourage this behavior, but right now we have an over 99% vaccination rate, and they were really, with this legislation, unfortunately, they were really targeting a certain specific part of the state of New York in Rockland County, where you have hundreds and hundreds of families not vaccinating. So I just don't know if this was really the right way to approach it.
Let's see what Donna Martini, our wellness advisor here on our midday program.
I actually want to ask him a question. Yeah. You know, if children are vaccinated, then how can they get the disease from someone who's not vaccinated? So people who are not vaccinating their children because of religious reasons, they're willing to take the chance their kid might get measles.
Right.
And people who are vaccinating don't want the measles, obviously. They're in school. They're mixed up together. How is someone who has a vaccine getting the disease? So why are we so afraid? If a parent's willing to take that risk, it's their child. I mean, the FDA has allowed opioids. It has killed millions of people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take responsibility for that until it's too late. So why are they making this such an issue
now? And I'm curious to know, because Doug could tell us on the floor of the assembly when this was being debated, what were some of the arguments for or against relative to what Donna's saying?
I mean, that was a large argument, was that that very case.
What
but
Donna said, yeah.
You know the fact is, and then the counter argument was, well, there are people that are immunocompromised that also could come in touch. But, you know, I hate to say it, but with that's possible, somebody going through chemotherapy treatment, but these are the types of folks that we interact with every single day. Anytime you go to a shopping mall, you know, these people are there. So it's not, and I got to tell you, what disturbed me the most, I think, as a legislator, throughout the session, we had families and their children coming up to visit us. And the way that a number of staff people and even a number of legislators were handling these meetings, you would think these people had a, you know, seriously contaminated, you know, a disease that you could, a contagious disease. You know, people were wiping down things. Oh, I don't want to meet with them. Tell them not to come to my office. People were putting on masks. And I said, these are healthy people. And you know what? If you walked by these people at the rest stop, you wouldn't think twice. But now they're saying, oh, my kids are unvaccinated. Just because you're unvaccinated doesn't mean you're carrying a deadly disease.
No, and how do we know, Doug, that the people who are compromised, immune system compromised, didn't get that from getting immunized? Because we don't know exactly what it could do to the system, taking a tiny bit of disease in the body. You know, and also we're exposed every single day to immigration. And immigrants coming over here, they don't necessarily had all their vaccinations, especially if they come over here illegally. We don't know what their background is. So, you know, we're always exposed. But, you know, I want to ask you a question, too, about what they said about potentially limiting the types of vaccinations that don't seem necessary. Because I was reading on MedicalNewsDayToday.com, and they were talking about the Hep B vaccination for newborns. And the reason why they do it is because it's possible for the birth mother to pass it on to the baby. So I'm like, okay, but we know this can happen. So why aren't we just giving the mother a blood test before she gives birth so we don't have to give a newborn, a little tiny little one-day-old baby, a vaccination?
Right. I mean that's a valid question. I'll tell you, my daughter is one year old, and you know we're not doctors, but I asked our doctor. When she was born, we did a test, and my wife did not have hepatitis B, but they said, oh, we should give it to her when she was one day old. And I said, you know, I don't know about this because we want to be careful. So I waited a week to give it to her, and our pediatrician said, well, why did you wait so long? And I said, well, my wife doesn't have hepatitis B. I don't have hepatitis B. You know, and I think with a newborn who's a day old, maybe they should kind of figure out how to live before we start giving them medicine. But you know what? I've given my daughter every one of these vaccines, and I'll tell you, like, as a parent, before she was age one, she really couldn't get that MMR vaccine. So with the thought and hearing about measles and me, how I have to travel around the state, you know, I was very careful because I was very thoughtful that I don't want to carry that back to my baby at home, newborn.
Right, yeah.
But the other thing that really bothers me is the fact that under the law, the drug companies that make vaccines are actually protected from any kind of lawsuit. So if you do have a bad reaction, and again, any medical thing, if you multiply it by thousands or millions of people, there's going to be some people that react badly. They are prevented and protected from lawsuits.
Why? Why, Doug? How could that be allowed?
Right. If that doesn't bother you, I mean, but the intent is they want people to get vaccinated. So this is a very touchy issue, and I really feel for these families. And again, some school board members said, what are we going to do? Like, I had one school board member last night tell me, you know, if these people continue to show up to school, you know, let the governor send in the state police. You know, it's not our job to enforce this law.
No. You raise a good point. How do you think this is all going to end? I see a stalemate here. I was a little horrified to hear what you had to say.
I want to make a suggestion to Doug, potentially.
150 families.
Potentially, yeah. Can we look into the frequency, how young they are? Can we hold off on certain vaccinations? It's only the ones that are really important so that kids don't have to have every single one the so-called government, FDA, whoever else thinks that they need. There's some that maybe, yeah, like smallpox, but do we really need to do the Hep B at a day old? That's ridiculous if the mother doesn't have it. You know, things like that, Doug, where we can try to, like, fine-tune this to make people feel better because we're a country of freedom. Where's the freedom here?
Right, and I think that's something that's going to have to be looked at. But now, understand, I like to try to – we can't be educated on every topic, but I like to educate myself if I can. But understand, before this, to get the religious exemption was very difficult in schools. This is not an easy process. And for your listeners' benefit, to get one of these religious exemptions – and I've talked to parents and I've talked to school districts – literally, most school districts here on Long Island, you would have to prove that you had a religious belief and then prove to the school district that you actually attend services in some congregation, in some religion. In cases, you might have to get a priest or a rabbi to sign off that you actually regularly attend, and then you have to basically affirm that you hold these beliefs. And I always thought that was a bit absurd that a school district might, and there were cases where, like, several of our local schools were interrogating parents for hours just to prove to the school, which is, you know, in effect an arm of the government, to prove that you actually hold these religious beliefs. You know, I never heard of something so absurd.
Yeah, when you think about it. Final thoughts on that, Donna?
I just wish that we could really understand what the real issues are in our country, and that is drugs and suicide, and number two, cause of death amongst our children, opioid addiction, vaping, alcohol. I mean, we're concentrating on this, and we're really not going after the biggest issues. And the idea that we're under control of government and companies that aren't even allowed to be sued, that's the scariest part of this whole thing.
Yeah. Doug, final thoughts on this, Doug?
I'm going to continue to work with my schools. I'm very happy to see that the school districts are now sending letters to the state saying that the way this law rolled out made it very difficult for parents to comply and very difficult to handle this. So, again, I am pro-vaccine. I vaccinate my kids. However, I also respect the religious rights of the people I represent.
Right.
And I think that steamrolling those rights, not really what the government should be doing, especially in light of a public health crisis that I believe they did not sufficiently prove to the legislature that we had this public health crisis. Yeah. I don't see a crisis. If we actually had a crisis, that might be something, but they haven't been able to show that.
Yeah. Maybe it's, could we say this is maybe government overreach, do you think, Doug?
I would say. And you know what? My Democratic colleagues agreed. The fact that this passed by one vote on the floor, the first vote, you need 76 to pass. The first vote that went up on the board, it was, I think it was 84 against. So they actually didn't have the votes.
Right.
And then leadership came out and twisted some arms and said, oh, we got to get this done. In the committee, the health committee did not have the votes to pass it. One gentleman got up, changed his vote to a yes in the health committee, and said, I'm just putting this out for a vote, and then voted no on the floor, just to get it out of the committee.
Doug, you see anyone with regrets now that they see the aftermath?
Well, I think some legislators have regrets now that hundreds of parents are showing up to their town hall meetings and saying, why do my children who are healthy, why are they not allowed to attend school?
Incredible.
So as a teacher, that really disturbs me. We want kids to attend school.
Yeah. And that's certainly, I think it had an effect that a lot of people didn't anticipate. Once again, Assemblyman Doug Smith getting up early this morning to help us out here on LI in the AM. Doug, you have a great and wonderful day, and thanks for participating. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Donna. Have a great day.
Okay.